Don't let your heart grow weary. Many people today are feeling exhausted. Moms come home from a tiring workday to a messy house, cranky kids, and a silent, unresponsive husband. Dads work overtime to support their families and find their kids disrespectful and their wives unappreciative. Singles are exhausted from making a career in which competition is fierce. Friends are few and fun is unfulfilling. Studies show that 3 out of 5 U.S. adults express greater tiredness now than ever before and blame the current political and medical uncertainties they face. Even the young millennials who are between 27 and 42 and should have a great deal of energy complain of tiredness believed caused by information overload and excessive hours on social media. Gen Z, who should be the spunky 11 to 26-year-olds, are known as the unhappiest and most exhausted generation because they, like the millennials, are spending the equivalent of 2 or more working days weekly on their electronic devices. Thus, 68% are complaining of high levels of stress, and 34% are moaning about burnout. Amid this, we as Christians have Paul's instruction. Let's not get tired of doing what's good. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. What? You cry? I'm supposed to do more? Are you kidding me? I have nothing left for myself. How can I be expected to do more for others? Besides, nobody appreciates what I do for them now. In fact, underappreciation is a serious cause of weariness and in well-doing, with 66% of employees saying they'll quit their jobs if they're underappreciated for their efforts. And marriages suffer the same fate, resulting in couples arguing more, losing interest, giving up, and giving less. What further compounds the problem of doing good for others is the doubt that our acts of kindness are really appreciated or matter anyway, especially if no one notices or cares. So how then do we persevere in well-doing when underappreciation or unpleasant experiences rub us raw? Scripture is full of antidotes to these feelings. Let's start with Jesus, who continuously gave sacrificially to an unappreciative generation. Remember the dad who brought his son to the disciples and complained when they couldn't heal him? The disciples had already served the 5,000 and then the 4,000, and then they were sent off to preach the gospel in all the villages and then heal the sick and face demoniacs. And then, of course, there's the accusing Pharisees. And now they were reproved for not healing this man's son? Oh, how would you feel? Tramping miles across the countryside, constantly surrounded by needy people, enduring possible shipwreck and hunger, and still everything you do isn't enough. Sound familiar? Add to this that Jesus rebukes them for their unbelief and reminds them that the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men and they will kill him, but he will be raised on the third day. Wow, that's a lot to take in, a lot to process. Could we manage? Perhaps it was then that they remember Jesus telling them, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Even our own hearts sigh at these words of comfort and encouragement. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He adds, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So much is packed into these verses. First, his invitation, "Come to me," followed by his promise, "I will give you rest." And then he adds his instruction, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Even though the disciples were fishermen, they would understand what Jesus meant by this. Perhaps Jesus even turned and gestured to a farmer in the field leading his oxen. The disciples would know that a yoke refers to a harness connecting two oxen to one another so that they could share the load of pulling a plow or hauling a load. Yet in their day, to be yoked also meant servitude and the act of carrying a burden or completing a task assigned by a master. The word yoke to them meant submission, but it didn't refer to carrying the burden or responsibility alone. Rather, it involved the older, seasoned ox pulling the greater burden as he trained the younger, less experienced ox. That's why Jesus said, "And learn from me. I'll teach you how to handle these burdens," he was saying. "You'll watch me persevere tirelessly in caring for others. You'll see me gentle and humble of heart when people don't appreciate what I do for them or people complain that I'm not doing it right. By pursuing my goals with my strength, you'll find rest for your souls, for I'll carry them for you. Then you'll find my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Through this process of being yoked to Jesus, we discover he carries the weight of heavy burdens, mentors us how to carry them more carefully and efficiently, and then empowers us from within to carry them. Paul learned how to minister in this fashion. That's why he could tell the Galatians, "Let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Remember those oxen plowing that field? Eventually, they will enjoy the hay, grain, or straw that it produces. But in the meantime, while the crop is growing, the body, mind, and soul needs to be replenished. It's then we need to be reminded of who gives us strength and who never grows weary. As such, God has all the strength we need. Even though our flesh and heart may fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Through his boundless supply, God gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men may fall from exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on high like wings, like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. We may understand how the eagle catches the updraft of air to soar high into the clouds and drift effortlessly on the winds, but what about the runners and the walkers? The average person training for a half marathon runs 30 to 40 miles a week, and the elite runner will pace closer to 100 to 110 miles per week. These runners train continuously, regardless of the weather or road conditions. They don't give up if they didn't win the last race. They don't do less if there's no one on the sidelines to encourage them. They just keep training. Why? Because of the joy of the journey, the exhilaration of the race, the delight of being a part of a body of like-minded athletes who can't wait for the next race. The same is true of those who walk. They prepare themselves for the distance, practice continuously, fitting themselves with the right equipment, treating any injuries so they don't fester, gaining companionship to make the distance more enjoyable. And if people mock them that they're wasting their time, they just smile, for they know that it's God who gives them strength. And what about those who mistreat us, jostle, push, and even try to trip us up? Jesus has an answer to them as well, if we will listen. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who cursed you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer him your shirt. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Well, that's a mouthful. How do we do that? Like Jesus. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, and then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not given your lives in your struggle against sin. Think of Jesus, the one we are yoked to, the one who carries the heaviest burden, the one who endured the cross, its pain and shame, and gave his life, his all for us. Surely we can do the good he asks for us to bring glory to his name and encourage others along the way. God bless you, beloved. God bless you.